reason and all that. And so that's why it's germane, is this is a part of the sort of the new conservation philosophy, is that if we target industry and we work with corporations, we can change the world. And while I think there's probably a certain segment of that that's true, I think it's more complicated than that. If you ignore governments too much, you're not going to change everything. The government is the only source that we have, really, of being able to do a blanket change in a country. And these kind of certification schemes sort of overlook the role of the government and allow governments to sort of continue doing what they're doing and say, well, we'll let the, you know, the corporations have the control. Now, obviously, it's a very complicated situation, and I don't think there's really an easy answer. But I do think that certification schemes, there's been so much money, time, energy poured into this. And so far, there's been very little research on whether or not it actually works, how much better it is. And that in itself is troubling.
Well, it's a complex issue. You've definitely taken on a big topic. I highly recommend our listeners check out the piece in its entirety. Jeremy Hance, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Freddie Hubbard and Johnny Cash. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by String Bead, Chico's home for bead lovers and jewelers of all kinds. String Bead has everything to do with beads and a fully equipped workshop where you can learn the art of jewelry and bead making. Classes, workshops, and parties available in the Almond Orchard Plaza at 2201 Pillsbury Road. More information by calling 894-2323 and at stringbead.com. And by the Paradise Meditation Center for Everyone, providing a peaceful oasis during your busy day. The Paradise Meditation Center is conveniently located at 7655 Skyway, just above Billy Road, offering meditations at noon and 5 p.m. with 45-minute sessions to relax and center yourself. For more information, visit pmcfe.com or call 433-6325, the Paradise Meditation Center, where calmness fills your day. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino. Today, I'm happy to introduce Toby Benedetto as my co-host. She's graciously filling in for Robert Jones, who is off somewhere that is not Chico. Listeners may remember that Toby has filled in before. She's a local, longtime ethical vegan and animal rights advocate, who also happens to write the Dear Toby column on the World of Vegan website. Welcome back, Toby. Thanks for filling in. What do we have planned for the listeners today?
Well, thank you for having me back, Jeannie. I always enjoy our time together. Tonight on Non-Human Radio, we're going to talk about Kat Von D's vegan cruelty-free makeup line, which I'm a huge fan of, a new study that documents the benefits of a vegan diet for older women, and we'll talk about the 2016 Animal Rights Conference in Los Angeles that I attended. All that and the vegan calendar of events coming up. So over to you, Jeannie.
Great. Thanks, Toby. Veg News reports that famed tattoo artist and ardent vegan activist Kat Von D recently announced plans to reformulate her makeup line, Kat Von D Beauty, to be completely vegan. Her company is taking steps to remove carmine, which is a coloring additive made from crushed beetles, from the line's products. I guess it adds sort of a red color?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah? Okay. Kat Von D said in an interview, "When I launched the line, I was not sober. I was not vegan yet. So I had no idea about ingredients and formulation. Now we've been reformulating anything that had carmine in the past, and if we can't reformulate them, we just throw them out. I can live without a purple eyeshadow. It's fine." Can you live without a purple eyeshadow?
I can manage, yes.
Okay. Kat Von D reportedly turned down a deal to have the line mass-produced in China due to the country's laws that would have required animal testing. That's like an importation requirement,
exactly.
I believe.
Yes. Yeah, I really admire what she's doing right now. She actually even cut ties recently with a fellow friend who has a makeup line because his makeup line is vegan, but he is not vegan. And they had some other issues too, but that was the main reason that she came out with a video, I think it was yesterday, saying this is why she's kind of cutting ties with him.
So she's sort of like a brand, an empire?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
I've known her. She has pretty dramatic looking features,
yes.
And I kind of looked her up on Wikipedia, and I saw that she started out as a tattoo artist.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, she had a tattooing show, and she's just, she's really, like you said, building an empire for herself.
Okay.
And her makeup line is coming on strong. It's amazing.
So, like, what makes amazing makeup? As a non-makeup wearer,
yeah,
myself.
Well, first of all, pure ingredients. You want it to be good to your skin. And you want it to last. You don't want to end up looking like a raccoon at the end of the day.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of her eyeliners and her eyelid primers and things like that. She's got amazing colors and really fun names that draw you in. She's just super creative. So.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. And so, like, if I wanted to buy her stuff, where would I go? If I were to choose to, like, all of a sudden wear makeup. Nothing against makeup. I really appreciate the skill. It's an art form. I just haven't mastered it.
Well, I don't know how much of an artist I am with it either, but it is fun. Sephora, that we just recently got here in Chico in the JCPenney's, is the only place that I know of locally that carries it. I know certain brands contract with certain companies,
okay,
to carry their products.
So Sephora is like exclusive. I mean,
I think
Kat Von D
so.
Is exclusive to Sephora.
I think it might be.
Okay.
We also have the Powder Room, which is just like a block away from here.
Actually, let's back it up.
Okay.
Let's explain to the listeners what cruelty-free means in terms of makeup. Like, how can makeup be cruel?
Whether it includes animal products in there.
So that's like the vegan aspect.
That's the vegan aspect. Or if they're tested on animals would be the cruelty.
So like
part.
How do you know how a makeup would be tested on animals?
I think we've all seen those horrible images of rabbits that have had their eyes just burned and scalded, and they're, you know, blinded by having things repeatedly tested in there to see if they hurt.
So they'll take
skin tests.
So they'll apply the makeup to the eyes or to they'd have to shave the animal, right?
Cause yes.
That's
yes.
Non-human animals typically have fur, which
right.
humans do not. Okay. And then they'll apply the makeup,
mm-hmm.
the product. Actually, it's a lot of products, right? It's not just makeup.
A lot of products.
Okay,
they'll
but in terms of beauty stuff, so shampoo or mm-hmm. perfume or eyeliner.
Absolutely.
So they'll apply it to the skin
Nail
or
polish,
the eye.
All of it.
And then assess how much irritation it causes?
Exactly.
Okay. So a cruelty-free product doesn't do any of that. How do they make sure it's safe?
I believe it's simply tested on humans for our, you know, ability to tolerate it. And, you know, using products that are ingredients that we've known for forever is not toxic to us.
Okay. So like say we know, I don't know, mineral oil.
Right.
Isn't toxic.
Right.
Then and doesn't cause irritations when used in normal
exactly.
ways or even like above or below normal ways. It's not
right.
going to cause a rash or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. There's plenty of things that we know of that we can work with. We don't need to test on animals.
Okay. So say the listeners are interested in like, oh, I didn't realize this dimension of suffering that was attached to my mascara or something
right.
or to my shaving cream. How would they go shopping if they're not like into going into JCPenney and going into the Sephora?
I think
that's
the only reason
insulin.
I go into JCPenney. Well, there are tons of great resources out there. One of my favorites is leapingbunny.org online, and you you can search for anything from household products to personal use things. I mean, they've got it all, and they constantly update it on
what is. Do they have an app?
I believe they do. Okay, yes, good. They do.
Okay, because I'm attached to my phone more than I ever thought I could be. So
right. I'm not an app girl, but okay. I'm willing to bet that they've got an app.
Or and say if it now, what about like local stores or something like that?
Yep, we're really lucky to have the Powder Room here in Chico, and don't quote me for sure, but I am like 95% positive everything in there is vegan and cruelty free.
Really?
Yes, I've bought tons of things in there from Cargo and 100% pure, and they're really knowledgeable, and they really care about skincare, about what they're doing, about what they're providing to people, and they're a great resource.
Are they downtown?
They are. They're about a block from where we are right now.
Oh, I love downtown Chico.
I know. But I mean, I think so many companies these days, it's something to be proud of to say you're vegan and cruelty-free, and there's just so many. All you have to do is turn products over in your hand in the store, and chances are you're going to see the little V, you're going to see the little leaping bunny. Companies are really proud to put that on there. So it's not hard to find. Even Target, you know, they sell Elf, Eyes, Lips, Face. That's a great...
Is that what Elf stands for?
It's
the brand name. Okay, all right.
And that's a really affordable line of cosmetics that is cruelty-free.
And that's at Target?
That's at Target.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay. Well, I learned something. That is very good to know.
Just stick with me, Jeannie. I'll take you shopping anytime.
Every now and then you know what's hard to find vegan? Is just plain old lip balm. A lot of that stuff has beeswax in it. Like you turn it over and beeswax is sort of a minor ingredient. It's like if you're vegan in every other respect, I really don't care if you're have beeswax in your lip balm. But like if I have a choice, I prefer to find something that doesn't have beeswax in it. So
yeah.
Anyway, but there are a few brands I know that I've bought some at Chico Natura Foods and at New Earth Market.
Mm-hmm.
So all right. Well, that's fascinating. I learned something. And once again, downtown Chico is looking good.
Yep, and beauty shouldn't hurt.
I know what I was thinking. I was thinking last week we were talking about that intersection of compassion and business. So we were talking about so-called humanely raised meat and different standards of animal agriculture, and how on the one side the consumer wants to be compassionate. They don't want to be a part of suffering. So if a consumer is looking for a cruelty-free good, that's motivating that's from a compassion place. That's their motivation. But the producer, they just want to make money. Mostly, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Bottom line is important. So these logos, these programs, the Leaping Bunny program is a way to help the producer market their product and be compassionate at the same time. But more importantly for the producer, they need to be able to make money, or otherwise they'll go out of business.
Exactly.
And they won't be able to produce the nice Elf product that we like, or the Kat Von D eyeliner that we like, kind of thing. So I think it's really important to look at this intersection of compassion and commerce.
Right.
So... Oh, moving on. The Journal of Nutrition recently published a Harvard Medical School study, showing that women who eat a plant-based diet are physically healthier than their meat-eating counterparts as they age. Based on survey data from more than 54,000 women who were tracked over the course of about 30 years, researchers found that a diet rich in fruit, leafy greens, and nuts correlated with higher levels of physical functioning and remaining injury-free. Meanwhile, high consumption of sugar, alcohol, salt, and trans fats more often resulted in health problems. While researchers found that some foods to have especially health-promoting properties, such as oranges, apples, pears, romaine lettuce, and walnuts, researchers emphasized that it was the overall quality of the subject's diet that kept them healthier, not individual components. So the take-home message is that women who eat more plants age better. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. That was data taken from the Nurses' Health Study, which is that long-term longitudinal data collection project out of the Boston area, the Harvard Medical School, a couple of other medical schools and hospitals in the area. It's also called the Nurses' Study. The nurses fill out questionnaires on their behavior and their diet and exercise levels, and then also submit for blood tests so they can get these other more quantitative metrics on their health. So, yeah, I think that is just fascinating. All right. So, Toby, you came back from a wild weekend in Los Angeles last week, right?
Yes, I did.
And you were at a national animal welfare conference. So I was hoping you could fill us in on what your experience was and some lessons learned and things that we can do here in Chico to that might be useful for all
of us. Okay. Well, I got to attend the Animal Rights National Conference, which is the world's largest and longest running animal rights gathering, which hails back to 1981. It's the only conference open to all points of view on achieving animal liberation and is designed for people who wish to improve their advocacy skills or simply to network with other animal activists. And for those who are not familiar with it, because this was also my first conference, they alternate coasts each year. So this year it was held for 4 days at the Sheraton Gateway Hotel in Los Angeles. They mentioned they think it had the highest number of attendees this year. And so I don't have a number, but I'm guesstimating about 2,000 based on what I had seen prior.
Okay.
It was jam-packed. Basically, each day started at 8 a.m., and you can even start earlier if you wanted to work out with some of their instructors, which I opted to not do.
I was just going to ask, did you work out?
No, no, okay. I did not. but it runs basically through till 11 p.m. with final networking sessions in the evening. So It was quite the workout, actually, in itself. So during the day, there are vendors and booths and exhibits. There's tons of food because, you know, we vegans love our food. And these concurrent workshops. So pretty much every hour, there were four or five options of panels and speakers. And you kind of had to do this like little mini People's Choice Awards and pick the one that you wanted to see, the topic you wanted to learn about. Or maybe there was just that speaker you were interested in. And so you're just kind of shifting from room to room all day and just learning so much.
I thought you already knew a lot.
There's so much to learn. There's so many issues. It can be overwhelming for sure, but being at an event like that where you're with so many people that are there for the same passion and the same, you know, level of commitment that you've got, it's just so inspiring, and it's something that we kind of all need to do for some self-care, I think, so we don't get weighed down by how much work there is to do.
Okay.
So pretty much every group you can think of, there were representatives there. There was PETA, Mercy for Animals, Humane Society of the United States, the Humane League, Farm Sanctuary, Direct Action Everywhere. I could go on and on.
Okay.
Cookbook authors like Colleen Patrick Goudreau, media and activist superstars like Jane Velez Mitchell and Simone Reyes. I even bumped into No Doubt's bass player and got a little starstruck there.
How cool is that?
I know.
How about Moby? Was he there?
That's kind of a funny story. I left the property twice for two different dinners, and one time we went to Moby's restaurant and we were all excited. And while we were there, he was back at the conference speaking.
Oh,
so
I guess
passed him on the freeway.
So if our listeners don't know, Moby, the very popular and very good musician and music producer, has been an ethical vegan for decades now.
Decades.
So, yep. Rock on,
and
Moby.
He just opened an amazing restaurant. So we missed him, which was a little upsetting. But my main takeaway, which I was really happy to see so many people speak about, I'm going to guess about 80% of the people that addressed us, or, you know, the panelists, they all wanted to make a point that we have to stop the infighting within our movement. And I mean, I'm small potatoes. I'm just one person that, you know, hardly anybody knows of, but even I feel the effects of that. I get criticized for having cats as my companion animals because they're carnivores.
Okay.
Or I get criticized for promoting Meatless Mondays. I've actually been told personally that I'm responsible for killing animals because I promote Meatless Mondays as a baby step instead of just straight veganism. That's the only option.
There is no doubt we've all faced criticism being vegan from non-vegans, but what you're articulating here is vegan or animal rights groups that have different approaches to helping animals, and they're criticizing the approaches that another group is taking for X, Y, or Z reason. Okay. So when you're saying you're criticized for promoting something like Meatless Monday, and by the way, Chico's got a Meatless Monday event coming up.
Hooray!
Yeah, we'll hear about it in the calendar. you're saying that criticism of Meatless Monday is coming from another vegan or another animal rights activist, not from a rancher or something like
No, it's from within our own group, and we all have the same end goal, of course, but there's just so many different theories on how to get there, and very often people are just so convinced that their path is the right way, and they have little tolerance for other voices in the movement, and that's just so frustrating for me. There's plenty of work to do for everybody. And my voice is different from your voice, which is different from PETA's voice, which is different from Direct Action Everywhere's voices. And we're all going to reach different segments of the population. And that's so important. And to we need to not be focusing our energy, you know, on trying to change people who are already, we're already on the team. We already are doing what we can and start, I mean, we're like 2% of the population. We have a big fight out there, you know? So all of that energy just needs to go outward to helping people learn and grow. And
it either goes outward or it goes sideward, right? We've talked about intersectionality before. And so maybe we reach out to environmental groups and get them more on board.
Absolutely.
With where our interests and our passions intersect. Or maybe we look to other groups, some people of color. We reach out to the Chico Peace and Justice Center, that kind of reaching out, which is a sideways reaching out.
Right.
And you know, maybe we don't aim to make everybody. As a vegan activist, I'll just want to let our listeners know I don't expect any non-vegan to go vegan overnight.
I expect them to
listen. And maybe learn and then consider whether their actions align with their values.
Right.
And so a lot of it's just like getting a non-vegan person to just stop and consider the impact of their actions on the animals. And I think that's what all these groups are trying to do. Just some of them are trying to get that reaction to come faster.
Right, which is actually kind of interesting because my favorite session that I witnessed was a debate between Wayne Shung of Direct Action Everywhere and Bruce Freerich from the Good Food Institute.
Can I get you to explain what Direct Action Everywhere is and what the Good Food Institute is?
Well, Wayne with the Direct Action Everywhere group, they are known for definitely being very confrontational. They go, you know, they're out there, they're doing disruptions. They'll go into Whole Foods stores and disrupt what's going on and kind of converge as one group and hold up signs and do little speeches and chants and things to draw attention. They're very in your face. Whereas Bruce's tact is more collaborative. He works behind the scenes with corporations to get them to see how they could be changing and doing things in a more compassionate way. And he works very closely with them to facilitate those kinds of changes.
So is that more like the cage-free egg trends that we're seeing, or we're talking about companies to actually like make more vegan products?
It's all of it. All of it matters. All of it, all those baby steps, which make things a little bit better along the way for animals. That's what Bruce is working for. And those baby steps just keep going. So they had a really fascinating debate. And I sort of hesitate to use the word debate. They were very respectful of each other. They agree on a lot of things. You can tell they're friends. They just have different theories on how to get things done. And the room was packed. I think they should have planned a little bit better for that because so many people wanted to see this. I could have listened to it for hours.
Was it recorded?
You know what? I'm not sure if it was.
Okay, well, listeners,
it might have been. No, wait, I think it was.
I'll keep an eye out and look for a link to the video on Non-Human Radio's Facebook page.
It was just brilliant. And pretty much my voice is definitely, I relate more to Bruce, but something Wayne said that pretty much the entire room just erupted in applause. He said basically, you know what, Bruce, my job is to make your job easy. I'm going to make things so uncomfortable for companies that when you come calling, they're going to be like, please come in, sit down, and let's talk. Let's figure this out. And that, I thought, was just, you know, an amazing way to look at it, how these two very different groups can work so well together and make change happen.
So we need both.
We need both.
Is what you're saying.
We need both and everything in between.
Even if we're irritated by the other.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And in fact, like just wishing it weren't so won't make anything go away.
Right.
So even if you were an activist and you didn't like either the Good Food Institute's approach or DXE's approach, wishing it away doesn't make it go away.
It doesn't. So put that energy elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm all for putting that energy into looking up a vegan cupcake recipe and making some
there
vegan cupcakes and seeing if you like them, because I guarantee you'll like them.
Speaking of food, just a little side note, I got to hit 3 restaurants in LA that I haven't had before. Shojin, Little Pine, and Real Food Daily. Highly recommend all of them if anyone's in the LA area.
Shojin is a vegan Japanese,
yes.
So sushi and such. You know,
amazing.
I've been to Shojin. Did you go to the one in downtown L.A.?
Culver City.
I've been to the one in downtown L.A. That's the original one.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Aonami Sushi here in Chico, their rolls are really
I wouldn't want
very,
to have to
very
choose
good.
Between the two.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're choosing on price,
Aonami
Chico
yes,
for
you
quality.
Yes, you win there.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a little plug for Aonami.
Aonami, yes, it is a little jewel of Chico. We do love
all right.
them.
So?
Let's do the Non-Human Radio Weekly Calendar of Events.
Awesome. I've been waiting. Okay, so this is like a super busy weekend. I can't believe how many events there are this weekend. All the info on these events will be posted on our website at nonhumanradio.com. So, what do we have? First, this Saturday, Chico Vegan Potluck, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Chico Library Community Room. And the theme for this month is the 4th of July You Wish You Had. So I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm going to make jacked up vegan ribs. So it's going to be seitan ribs with jackfruit in them.
Ooh,
going to be very good.
Yum.
Somebody else I know is making a killer potato salad. So there'll be some other stuff too, I'm sure. Cookies and other things. Reese's Pieces. Somebody's making Reese's cups. Yeah,
are.
Reese's peanut butter cups. So it'll be good.
Oh.
Everyone is welcome, and I guarantee everyone can try and enjoy being vegan for 2 hours. You can. You really can do this. You can make something from scratch. You can go to New Earth, Chico Natural Foods, or Safeway, or Raley's, and find something vegan to buy and bring. For you know, if you're in a pinch, Raley's and Safeway always have that vegan Ben & Jerry's ice cream, which is awesome. So potluck details can be found at chicovegan.com. Next up on Sunday, July 24th, from 6 to 8 p.m., we have a free screening of Veducated at the Red Bluff Community and Senior Center on 1500 South Jackson Street in Red Bluff. Vegan Red Bluff, a group I love, is hosting a screening of Veducated, which is a vegan advocacy movie that follows 3 meat and cheese-loving New Yorkers who agree to adopt a vegan diet for 6 weeks. There'll be lots of vegan goodies. They're doing. They're going to be making. If nothing else, go for the food, because the folks who are active in Vegan Red Bluff are making Gardein chicken sliders. They're going to have veggie hot dogs and hamburgers. They're making mini tostadas and chocolate chip cookies, and they have all these goodies that they scored from Earth Balance, Gardein, and Orgain Protein Drink Company. So, and there's going to be a post film Q&A session that'll be led by me. You're truly Jeannie. On Monday, July 25th, Meatless Monday at New Earth Market in Chico. New Earth Market is hosting a vegan shopping tour of the market to encourage patrons to discover all the vegan food that you can buy there. And they'll also feature a vegan beer tasting with 3 beers from the Evil Twin Gypsy Brewery. The tour and deli samples are free, and there'll be a nominal charge for the beer tasting. And that is it for the weekend. Next Saturday, July 30th, from 4 to 6 p.m., I invite folks to check out the Vegan Drinks and Happy Hour in downtown Chico at Tres Hombres. You can meet some other vegans and have a cocktail, or not, and mingle. It's just a nice social event. And so that's about it. We're at the end of our time today, and Toby, I've really enjoyed having you on our show and hearing about the Animal Rights Conference. That was just so fascinating.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy my time with you.
Great. And we have one last bit of business to take care of.
The Animal Rights Subversive Thought of the Week is from Matthew Scully, who ironically was in the national news this morning. He's a special assistant and senior speechwriter to George W. Bush and the author of Dominion, The Power of Man, The Suffering of Animals, and The Call to Mercy. The quote reads, "Compassion for animals doesn't drain away some finite reserve of moral energy and idealism to the detriment of human welfare, but surely adds to the supply."
That's great. So that's like where somebody says, "Oh, why are you spending all this time for the animals? What about people?"
I love that question. I said that sarcastically.
So wait, so how was Scully in the news today?
Oh.